Oh, blessed be your name, O King of Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As we gather unto your name, O King of Glory, as we gather unto that eternal name, that name that is above all name. Hallelujah. We say, may your presence fill us. Illumine us with the light of your understanding. Praise God. Give us wisdom. Hallelujah. Cause us to arise with wings of eagles into an ever higher consciousness of the knowledge of the Son of God. Blessed be your name, O King of Glory. Hallelujah. Let us be still and not a bit still, and let the Spirit of God minister to us. Let the Spirit of God minister to us. Hallelujah. Let us be still. Let us separate ourselves from the many worries, from the many problems that this world offers. See, from the activities of men. Let us, like Zacchaeus was a chief republican, a rich man, who saw the value and understood the worth of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Zacchaeus ran ahead of Jesus, and Zacchaeus, being a short man, he climbed a tree, a sycamore tree, so that he could view, he have a better view of Jesus. This was a rich man. So something like someone you can call important in this world, in this dimension. See, but he threw away all that pride. See, he threw away all that self-esteem to climb a tree so that he could just have a glimpse of the Son of God. See, down there was the crowd. Down there was the crowd, and the crowd was there. Once you are among the crowd, at times your view of Christ is obscured, that you cannot see Christ. Isn't it? Confusion of how to survive, how to eat, what to eat, how, where would next meal come from, what of your jobs, what will happen to my job, and all these problems around us, bickerings in the family, problems in the family. This one took my inheritance. This one took what was mine. See it. Sentiments. My father preferred that child to me. Why did my father love that other child more than me? Sentiments. Leave that realm and, like Zacchaeus, come to the quiet. Separate yourself like Zacchaeus and stand and climb that tree to behold the Lord of Glory. Zacchaeus, a republican, rich man. When you say rich man in the Bible, he's allegorically prefers to the man of this world. Every man that is born into this world with a sense of belonging to this natural realm is a rich man. But he put all that aside to climb up that tree to see Jesus. Now you can imagine Bill Gates, you know Bill Gates? You can imagine Bill Gates climbing up a tree to behold Jesus. Or you can imagine the Obama, you know, somebody of importance in this realm, to climb a tree to behold Jesus. So we have to separate ourselves. Because all that matters is that we see him and have a revelation of him. So that's all that matters. Like Paul says, that I may know him. Paul had left aside everything that he had achieved over the years. Left aside his ego, religious knowledge, everything that he has achieved, just that he may know him, the light of the world. So that is the kind of attitude we should have always. So let us not be distracted by the crowds, by the multitudes. So let nothing in this world obscure our view of the Christ. So don't let the body, conditions in the body, obscure your view of the Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because when we begin to know Christ, when we begin to get a revelation of what Christ is, we begin to see ourselves the way we are known of God. And the revelation of ourselves, the way we are known of God, brings about an awareness of a dimension of pure light. Are you listening? A dimension of what? Pure light. Pure light, where there is no darkness at all. See, the revelation of Christ puts an end to darkness. See, and when there is no darkness, you begin to see plainly. You begin to experience the joy and the beauty of the eternal presence of the living God. You begin to flow once more in that river of the Spirit that fills all in all. Praise God. In the book of Revelations, the last chapter, we saw a glimpse of the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem, isn't it? And the Bible says that there is no night there. There's no night in the new Jerusalem. Even the ancient prophecies of Isaiah speaks about this new Jerusalem, where there is no night at all. It's a dimension of pure light. No more curse, no more pain, no more sorrows, no more bitterness, no more anxieties, fear, and all these things that every man has experienced in this life is no more, for the former things are what passed away. And the light now is shining, and the revelation of Christ is taking us into that new day, so that we stand presently in that new day that can never pass away. Praise God. When we have a sense of poverty, sense of need, of lack, fear, when we entertain fear in us, know that this is what they call outer darkness. That is the realm of what? Outer darkness. God did not generate us to be creatures of fear. See, it is not the will of God that we live our lives in fear, but rather we live in that perfect stillness of the Son of God. That same stillness that Jesus Christ exhibited as he slept in that boat. See it? Even though the boat was rocked by the violent raging seas, Jesus Christ slept like a baby in that boat. But the men out there were all what? shouting and screaming and scared, and they were all scared stiff. But Jesus Christ was sleeping. Why? Because Jesus Christ walked in a realm where he's not even aware of the raging seas. They don't exist. Praise God. In the New Jerusalem, the last chapter, or rather in chapter 21, when John saw the New Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth, there was no more sea, no more turbulence. That is the realm where there is no darkness, because the depths, the deep of the sea, is the storehouse of darkness. See it? If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that darkness was upon the face of what? Of the sea. Was in the deep. Darkness was over that deep in the sea. That is the storehouse of darkness. And that is the depths in which man sinks into when he loses awareness of truth. Praise God. So you see, in the new heavens and new earth, there is no sea, no darkness at all. Meaning no raging seas, no turbulence. It's perfect still and you stillness. I shall be a father to them, see it, and a God to them. No more you walk as orphans in this world, with a sense of annihilation from the life of God, from the being of God, from the essence of God. Because if God be with me, what can be against me? You see, this is the struggle of our most holy calling, the most holy, our most holy calling, most holy faith, is to realize this oneness, which is reality. It's not, you know, not, it's not something about hearsay. We're not trying to be philosophical here. We're talking about truth revealed. Because the oneness that we have with God never, never, ever left us. But somehow we were enveloped in pure darkness. When you are in darkness, you don't even see yourself. See, then you begin to now think you are poor, isn't it? You begin to have the inferiority complex that you lack something, isn't it? You begin to fear and try to save for a rainy day, isn't it? See, but Jesus Christ says that when you go out, don't take anything with you. No money in your purse, nothing. Just go like that. And when the disciples came back, he asked them, did you lack anything? They said they lack nothing. See, we can come to the place where we realize that the Father is with me and the Father has not left me. That is the light that we are being called back into. Every man that hears the voice of the Son of Man in this hour. Praise God. Any sensation of fear, know that that is outer darkness. When there is worry, that is what? Outer darkness. When there is sense of poverty, that is outer darkness. When there is bitterness and hurt and pain, that is what? Outer darkness. All these things emanate from the fact that when you are in the dark, you think that you have a life of your own, isn't it? You feel that you have a separate life from the life of God. You feel that you are a separate being from God. See, but Jesus Christ comes and brings a new revelation. Of course, this revelation that Jesus Christ brought is simply truth. It comes now as revelation simply because men were lost in darkness. When you're in darkness, you are submersed into a realm of forgetfulness. You forget everything. You lose all reality, all awareness of the fact that I and the Father are one. That is truth revealed. This is the revelation that Christ brought to us. And that is the light. Praise God. That is what the Bible calls what? The light. When you can confess consciously that I and the Father are one, you are in the light. That is the awakening that God wants to bring his people into. To drag us out of what? Outer darkness back into the revelation light. Where we can walk realizing that I and the Father are one. Meaning that I don't have a separate life from that of God. I don't have a separate being. I'm not a separate being from what? From the living God. When I begin to get the sensation that I'm separate from God, that is outer darkness. And in that feeling comes the sin consciousness, isn't it? It comes that need to kind of please God, to seek to please God, seek to sacrifice to God. Then comes the need to begin to struggle for recognition, for vain glories of this world, and all the things that men occupy themselves with day and night. But God is giving us a clue today through the gospel how we can get out of that realm of what? Of outer darkness, so that we can experience the light in its totality. As something I read in the book of Acts, it says that Christ has come to open the eyes, our eyes, and to turn man from what? Darkness into the light. See it, from the power of Satan unto God. See it, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ. See, this is the grace of God to bring us out of what? Darkness into light. From the power of Satan unto God. Have you meditated on that? From the power of Satan unto God. Meaning that when a man walks in darkness, he's under the dominion of Satan. And what is Satan? What is Satan? Satan is the devil. See, he's the serpent in the beginning, in the Bible. See, it's the spirit of this age that envelops the minds of men in this world in pure darkness, so that they do not know, they lose all reality of their what? Oneness with God. That's Satan. Satan is that spirit that operates in this age that seeks to put asunder that thing that God has made one. The Bible says that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, when you say man in the man and Satan, they're all the same thing. Remember Jesus, what Jesus Christ says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou knowest not the things of God, but the things that be of men. So you can see that the man of this age is governed by the spirit of Satan. It's a carnal spirit. It's the spirit of this outer world, this outer natural realm in which men live in. And all that that spirit seeks to do is to bring, put asunder that oneness that we have with Christ, or we have with God from the foundation of the world. What God has joined together, let nothing put asunder. We are one with God, isn't it? And we can never be separated. See, but the spirit that Satan seeks to put asunder, and that putting asunder is done in the mind. It's done in our mind, in reality. See, when you are born into this world and all the teachings and all the influences of this age, all they simply does is to separate us from the reality of our oneness with God. Now, this is the root power of Satan. See, Satan, the secret of the power of Satan lies in the fact that he causes men to lose all trace of spirituality that is in them. He causes men to lose all awareness of the fact that they are what? One with God. This is the deception. See, the Bible says that the serpent deceived Adam and Eve, isn't it? They were deceived. That deception only brought about a separation, a sense of annihilation, a sense of being apart from God. Praise God. When Adam was there ruling and reigning in the Garden of Eden, they were in the light. They were in the day of the Lord. So they were in the Lord. They were walking in the spirit of the Lord. Praise God. In that dimension, there was no such thing as Adam as a man independent from God. Adam was flowing in the spirit, in God. That is the oneness. And I tell you that Adam in the Garden of Eden can be a billion people. It can be an innumerable company of people that are just walking in one spirit. It's a multitude that form that one man. Because it's one body, one spirit, which is the body of God. So by the transgression, what happens is that Adam sees himself without. And he begins to look at himself. He begins to see himself as a separate being. Now he begins to say, I'm naked. He becomes self-conscious, self-aware. That is outer darkness, because in reality, no man has a life. The life we say we live after the flesh, it's just an illusion. We don't have a life in our body. We don't have a life in this natural dimension. The only life that there is the life of God. See, the earlier we wake awake to this reality, the earlier we enter into our rest and escape the destruction and the corruption and the wasting that is in this world. See, so you can see all the merry-go-round and all the ups and downs and things that men put their hands into to achieve and to go around in this world is all in what? Outer darkness. Spirit darkness, there's no device. There's no knowledge. There's nothing that a man outside the spirit of God can put forth his hand to achieve in this world. Mark it. You only be walking in shadows. Hallelujah. Everything you see in this world is simply something in outer darkness that's got no root in reality. Even religion. The other day I was just meditating on religion. And you know, people think that Christianity is kind of God's chosen religion. So when you discover that religion is simply, these are simply philosophies of men, systems of men that are simply in the shadow. They might have, how do I put it? These things originate from the light, the reality, but men with a darkened understanding can only interpret these things literally. You see? Have you heard of the Muslim talking of jihad? You know what they call it, jihad? A holy war. And you know, in reality, if you are to translate the Bible also with the natural mind, there's also jihad in the Bible. You know that? Have you heard of the war of Armageddon in the Bible? Now, if you are to literally read the book of Revelation with a carnal mind, and you see the man on a white horse coming from heaven with the kings and many horses following him to make war against the devil and to make war against nations, what you can see is something like a jihad. Isn't it? And of course, people expect that someday that the King of Kings will come down from the sky while riding on a white horse with many people and come and fight, make war against people and kill people and destroy people and all that kind of stuff. So you see, religion is just a derivation is of the carnal mind. See, I was discussing with a Muslim friend the other day. He was speaking about resurrection from the dead. See, he was speaking of how the people wear white. See, as a symbol of how they will resurrect on the last day and how they all get into life on the last day, all of them in white, holy. And it occurred to me that these things are tapped from the spirit. Because in reality, in the spirit, we are all in white. White literally talks of light. We are all clothed in light garments. All the redeemed of the Lord are always in white, in light garments. Means they are all clothed in Christ, clothed in Christ consciousness. You see, but you cannot put a white garment on you physically and think that it will do you any good. So you can see that religion, if you go to the ancient religions of Maya, see the Maya tradition, now we're talking of the 2012, if you go and look at the ancient religions, you look at the towers, they build pyramid-like structures, like pyramids, like the ancient Egyptian pyramids. Where do you think these concepts come from? It's the carnal mind that is interpreting the spiritual things of God, because it doesn't understand that they are spiritually discerned. So they build those tall towers of the Maya. You know, the Maya had their own kind of pyramid structure. I think there's somewhere in Mexico where they go to every year. I think two times a year, because of the inclination of the sun, the position of the sun. See, and it has got something to do with the equinox and all that kind of stuff. I'm not too good in geography, but there's a particular time of the year that tourists gather along that pyramid, around that pyramid, and they view a serpent. A serpent normally comes down. I mean, there's a serpent that was, you know, sculptured along the one edge of the pyramid, and the head of this serpent is virtually at the ground level. So at that particular time of the year, I think at night, it's a kind of, I don't know how they did it. These people were so intelligent in those days that they were able to make it in such a way that at two times a year, the light will show only that serpent coming down. The whole structure will be enveloped in darkness, but you see only the serpent coming down, as if it's coming down from the pyramid. Where do you think they get this concept from? Obviously, we know that at the foot of a pyramid, which is the earth, is there you have the serpent. See, when a man ascends, he ascends into divinity. He ascends into his Christ-like state, into God. But when a man descends, it's a serpent that descends. A devil comes out of him. See, every natural man is a devil. Bear it in mind. Once you, a natural man is what? Is a devil. Because he walks in outer darkness. That which is earthly cannot inherit the things of God. That which is natural is not of God. So if you have internet or something, you can just go out and make a study on the Mayan pyramids, and you see how God is speaking there. But men interpret these things naturally. And when you interpret these things naturally, you only form religion for yourself. So religion is only based, founded on the natural reasons of men. You see it? On the natural reasons of men. The assemblies in the churches. Assemblies of men. When you look at the settings, you don't discover that it's outer darkness. They are all living in parables. Jesus Christ made a statement during his days, because he always spoke in parables, and they asked him, the disciples asked him, why do you always speak in parables? And he told them that, look, he told the disciples, unto you is given to know the mysteries of God. But to those that are without, all things are given in what? In parables. Now, you better be careful. Just listen to the words of Jesus. To you, it is given to know the mysteries of his kingdom. Now, he's speaking about his disciples. Who are his disciples? Disciples are those who are in the light, as he is in the light. His disciples are those who are gathered unto him, who walk in the spirit and not after the flesh, who have the revelation of Christ. These are his disciples. These are the ones that see things plainly. They hear from the Father plainly. And when you see and hear things plainly, what you begin to see is the eternal dimension of God's Spirit. What you begin to see is Christ and his kingdom. But those things that are without, those that are without hear things in parables, and those are in outer darkness. Hear all things in parables. And when you hear all things in parables, it means you are not seeing, neither are you hearing anything correctly. All the things that you see are just vain. That is the realm of this world, the realm and dimension in which men walk in. They see things in parables. They don't see the real things, the systems that they form for themselves, the things that they go out to achieve for themselves, the glories of this world that they try to gather unto themselves are all what? In outer darkness. They see things in parables. Religion is only in outer darkness. The concept of God, the concept of worship, the concept of how to please God, the concept of the ages to come, of God's kingdom, of God's world, what God is, all these are just what? In parables. They don't see the real, they don't have a revelation of what God is. And when you are in outer darkness, it goes hand in hand with sorrow, pain, lack, worries. See it. All the anxieties, everything. That is it. It's the realm of what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what weeping and gnashing of teeth is? Weeping, gnashing of teeth. Sorrow, pain, and tears. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, if we cannot realize and recognize that we are one spirit with God, and that we are all one spirit, members of one of each other. We are what in outer darkness. See it. He that does not love his brother, like John the Apostle says, he that does not love his brother is what? He's in darkness. See, your brother is not somebody that goes to the same church with you. Your brother is not someone that was birthed in the same community with you. See, your brother, you have to see your brother in every man that you come across. Because every man originated from that same one spirit. Praise God. So now the revelation of Christ has come, and we know all that God wants is to get his people out of that realm of outer darkness and bring them into that realm of light where they can actually enjoy the light of life, where they can realize this oneness with God, where they can realize the glory and the power, the totality of everything that the Father has freely given to the Son. Praise God. In this reality, there is no more fear. Praise God. Bye-bye to fear. It is now. The labor of every saint is to believe, isn't it? To believe these things that you have heard. Faith in continuity, in confessions. Hallelujah. Because it is only darkness that enveloped our comprehensions that say that God left us. Paul talks about the deceitfulness of sin. In reality, when you are awake, you discover that you never transgressed against God. God never left you. God was never angry with you. But you are what? Enveloped in darkness. Hallelujah. The only thing a man can do is submit himself patiently to the truth in prayers and in meditation, and walking in the truth, continuing the truth. See it. Exercising yourself in the truth, it opens a doorway into God's everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. Confessing the truth and walking in the truth. Confessing and realizing that the Christ in me is my true life. The Christ in me is not a sinner. He's not a drug addict. The Christ in me is not sick. Does not have cancer. Does not have diabetes. Praise God. The Christ in me is light and is perfect. The Christ in me can never die. See it. Begin to confess this thing in you and in patience. See, not allowing the crowds to choke you. You know what happened, Zacchaeus? He had to separate himself from the crowds, the tumultuous crowds, so he will have a quiet, still view of Christ. See, how many of us know we need to have a still view of Christ? We're too involved or carried away with the activities in this world. We're too much involved in family affairs, business, how to make money and all these things. But rather we should separate ourselves and be still to listen to the ministration of the Spirit. See, Jesus Christ says, mind how you hear. Mind how you hear. To him that has, more will be given. More revelation of Christ. As we can sit still and listen. Because those things that men chase after and run after, at the end of the day, they discover that they were only chasing after things that are not. You wake up to discover that the things that you are running after, they don't exist. See it? The things that you thought were of utmost importance to you as a man, you just wake up one day and discover that they don't exist. So we have to be able to be still and allow the process of the dawning of the morning star in our hearts to occur. Even at times, those of us who minister get carried away with ministering here and there, and ministering and trying to save people, trying to be a great minister of God, trying to be a good preacher, and all these things, and you, at times you do these things and neglect the need to be still and listen and allow the dawning of the morning star in you. Bear in mind that you cannot convert anybody as a man. Just bear it in mind. You can't convert anybody as a man. That which converts is Christ. That which converts is God. You cannot do anything as a man. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The moment you are born again, everybody wants to jump around and become a minister. Wants to become a pastor. You cannot be a pastor. Christ is the pastor. What the focus is that I may know him. At times you are carried away with ministry and you forget yourself. And you discover that, you know, you're an outcast. You're outside in outer darkness. When those who you have ministered to have already gone, have entered in, into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. So you see, we have to stir up ourselves and, you know, begin to recognize this realm of light and this realm of outer darkness. So the gospel is here to get us out of outer darkness so that we can realize the totality of the joy of our salvation once more. There is peace, there is joy, there is power, there is assurance. See, there is a realm where everything, pain, sorrow, anxiety is no more. A realm of laughter, it exists. Quote, it exists. See, and you can experience it right here as a man, in this body, in this physical body, as you stand, you can experience it. See, as you follow on to know the Lord, you can experience it. It is real. You don't have to die. You can experience it. You don't have to look at your condition. Praise God. You don't have to look at what the doctors have told you, the medical reports and all that. But rather, stay focused on the revelation of truth, because truth can never be taken away from you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let there be light in our hearts. Understanding. Let us begin to see inner light. Hallelujah. Inner light. Let us be diligent, patient at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Like Mary and Martha. Hallelujah. We saw that one of them was there at the feet of Jesus, listening. Let us be at the feet of Jesus, listening, and not be carried away with the many vices of this world. Let us not be carried away with outer appearances, signs, symbols of men. See, the wonders of men. But let us be focused on that unchanging dimension of the Spirit of God in inner light. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a realm where nothing changes. Everything is beautiful. It's a realm of laughter. It's the realm of the living God. Hallelujah. Like we said, if a man feels himself to be apart from the Spirit of God, that's outer darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But thank God for the light of life. Thank God for the liberating power of your spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name, Father. Lift up your people. Lift up your people. Hallelujah. Let the living waters of the Lord flow through the hearts of the people. Let them see the joy of the salvation of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the living God. Amen. Amen. The Lord showed you a vision.
Yeah.
Can you share it with the brethren?
Praise the Lord. As we're concluding this the prayer, the Lord showed me a vase of flower. Inside this vase, there was the flower blooming out. Immediately, he showed me a white wedding gown and the groom joined together. That was what the Lord revealed to me. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. A blossoming flower, a flower that was blooming. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is, God has promised to turn the desert places into what? A blossoming wilderness. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is able to turn our situations around. God is able to turn those desert places into a garden of Eden. Hallelujah. Where there can be found life and life. Then we see the wedding gown here. Well, that will be the next message we're going to speak about. We're going to speak a bit about, touch a bit on the wedding. Wedding is a very big topic. See, but we must realize that Christ wants us to be married to God. Now, when we are married to God, it means that we are what? We are one. So, I've been hearing many seminars on marriage. People have been preaching about marriage, but I tell you, marriage is not something that can be fully fulfilled by men. See, when you marry as a man, that is what they call the realm of parables. You are in outer darkness. See, but there's a marriage that endures forever. See, that's the marriage of the Spirit. It's coming to us as a mystery right now. It's coming to us as a mystery right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Marriage is coming to us as a mystery, and the two shall become one. Meaning that we are married in one, in consciousness. So that we can, like Jesus Christ, say, I and the word, Father are one. So we're going to share a little bit about marriage in the next session. God bless you. Amen.
lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle